Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The 817, I went to Taco Bueno for lunch to get a free taco if the Cowboys win. I asked what I get, and they said half a taco. I don't know if that is true, but that's amazing.
Okay, hold on.
They tied.
I always love this when they say if a giraffe wore pants, how would he wear them? You know, would it be on his front legs all the way up to his neck? Would it be on the back
half of his
body?
See, I think it would be all the legs.
All the legs. So if they are only giving half a taco, is it they lay the taco down on its side and cut it right down the like in the half, or you lay it up and then cut it down the middle? Like, how
see,
are you getting half?
Okay, and I think you cut it down the middle standing upright.
Okay.
And like the middle, so not, man, it's weird to say the middle, but not the middle. The middle where it's not thin.
Okay.
So the middle where it's a chunk and a chunk.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not the really thin part.
Yeah,
of it. But I don't think I said that very well, Alex. Shut up. I can see your face. Shut up.
Alex,
I see your face.
He did fine. All right. Please stop giving him such a hard time about this,
hey,
Alex.
When I was talking and I said not the middle, but and then my mind's like, what are you going to say? The other middle? And I panic.
Yeah, the moderate section, if you will. All right.
That doesn't exist.
Topical.
Kevin, as I've always said, the options, if you don't have us on the Odyssey app, or if you don't have us on Twitch, or if you don't have us on the YouTube, you always have us on radio. Mm. And never forget, Kevin, you can't spell radio without rad.
Is that a transition into your story, or can I mention an update? Because I didn't know if you had like a dirt bike story or something.
Everybody is actually correct on the fan text right now. Diagonal cut is the only way,
I guess,
to split the taco.
Actually, in that case, it would work. Despite not giving advice, our buddy from the 940 decided to go for it on Underdog, and they said they're going to go hire Scoobal 7.5Ks. If they get it, they go from $780 to $1,400 through three innings. Scoobal, 4 strikeouts. So,
and I was told Austin Hedges has been on base today.
He got a walk.
So there we go. You know, I said I was rooting for Cleveland mostly because of Ramirez. I like him. He's a good player. He's fun to watch. But now we have Austin Hedges to pull for.
Mm.
Except for we don't because he's not a Ranger. So just like Napoli, whatever, dude. I don't care. It's your World Series with another team, not mine.
Okay.
DeMarcus Ware, your Super Bowl with another team, not mine.
That opinion I have heard.
Did my jersey end up winning the World Series? No. But
sorry.
I will root for your team, I guess.
Okay.
Whatever. It's time for the level of concern.
Oh, man!
We start with, like, just the least threatening noise.
Yeah, kind of eases you into everything. We're going to start with cut 7 here. Jerry Jones this morning was on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show, and they had a conversation. And they asked, have you thought about adding more help to the defense with how good the offense can be this year?
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a logical way to go. But I also get to have the benefit of looking at who's coming. And we've got Overshown coming, and he seems like that I'm asking that question every day. Is Overshown going to be out here ready, getting ready for the game? But you've got Overshown coming. We've got, frankly, 41 out there is playing lights out and getting better by the game. And Clowney has certainly had his opening game. So I see help on the way for this defense.
This replay brought to you by Window Nation. Kevin, first off,
can I just ask a question?
He doesn't know how to say his name.
Okay.
That's why he said 41.
Do you think he doesn't know how to say his name?
He said it.
Okay.
Yeah, he said, I say 41. I've said it multiple times because I have a hard time saying his name.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't that he wasn't like generally aware of who Donovan Ezeraku was. All right. Fifth strikeout for Scoob.
No, he knows who he made a couple different comments about Ezeraku because he thinks he is developing at a good pace. And I think we all can agree that we're seeing a player that's still making some rookie mistakes, but also still growing at the position. And he actually looked more physical in this game than he has in the past. And that's something I really like.
And I was going to say, it's not like he was the number one overall pick in the draft, but hell, you can just look at Cam Ward to be like, it doesn't matter where you're drafted. Rookie struggles are absolutely a real deal.
All that being said, Kevin, what is your level of concern with whether or not Jerry Jones adds to this defense?
My level of concern is very low on that because I don't want him to add to the defense. Let me ask you this. Am I allowed to do a bonus level of concern?
Sure.
Okay. I'm more concerned about the way they hype and sell things that aren't about to happen. Like when he talks about Demarvion Overshown to keep him in like the back of all of our mind, that's not happening for what? Like a month and a half at least.
But each week it has people going, hey, don't forget that Overshown's on the way, right?
Yeah.
Like that's part of the way that you keep the needle injected, if you will,
I guess,
to keep the hopium alive.
It just feels so disingenuous. And so I don't like that. But like I'm not concerned about adding. I would very much prefer the Cowboys not do anything adding to the defense because I'm fine with letting the chips fall where they may and keeping your draft assets and keeping your monetary assets.
Ooh. Kevin, this team, I don't know if you remember or were told, they tied on Sunday night.
I was aware because that guy got the half taco at Taco Bueno.
He cut diagonally. have you factored in how a tie could be helpful for your record?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world if it's close one way or the other. And so you gain on it maybe against a team that you're trying to get in the playoffs with a loss. And you gain and you get behind a little bit too. Not a little bit, but you get behind one that had a win rather than a tie. But I think the other thing is the nature of it. I thought that everybody expected a big challenge for the Cowboys out there Sunday night. And to some degree, we made the plays against a team that the expectations were that they had a pretty high bar.
The level of concern for how this tie will affect the Cowboys' season.
As low as possible, that's not zero. Because I don't see them being in that scenario where it helps them in the tiebreak. Like, he's right. He's absolutely right.
That can help you one way or another.
Yes, absolutely. I just don't think you'll be in a position. But can I say big thumbs up to the other part of what he said? I think that's another reason why I'm generally positive about the tie. I know you didn't get a win, but let's talk about it. I'll admit it for myself. I thought the Cowboys were going to get smoked in this game. And the fact that they didn't and got a tie from a team that 2 weeks ago looked like they could be the best team in all of the NFL, I do think that's positive. This wasn't a toss-up game. This was a game where Green Bay was going to smoke us, and that did not happen.
I'm not really going to hold you to this because I'll forget. That's just how I am. But you're saying right now that if you don't foresee the Cowboys finding themselves in this position,
correct,
where the tie can help them,
correct.
So you're not concerned or about it hurting them either because
correct.
You don't see them being there.
Absolutely,
your
correct.
Expectations we discussed can change if they win.
Exactly,
and then you're going to be upset that they tied or happy.
Look,
that they
man.
Tied. So that's where a lot of fans can be. Is we don't know. It could affect us in one way or another.
Okay, and I'm not saying it's going to go down like this, but You have seen potential flaws in Washington. You have seen potential flaws in Denver. All, obviously, the Jets and Panthers have flaws.
Yes.
So let's say you come out there and break off an undefeated record in October. I'm not calling for that, but if you did, now you're 5-2-1. And first of all, then that tie will matter a lot. And won't your mind start to wander about like, hey, man, what if we were 6-2? Or what if we would have won that Philly game? Like, that's inevitable. And yes, so if they go undefeated in October, you're damn right I'm going to change my opinion.
Kevin, maybe the most important story to you yesterday morning was the job of the timekeeper.
Yes.
Did Jerry think the clock hit zero on that final pass in OT?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. When he dropped that ball, I was very much aware there was no time left on the clock, I thought. And when he dropped that ball, I thought we'd won the game.
Oh, we didn't. Oh, Peyton left out the best part when Jerry Jones explicitly said he does not have control of that person's job. That is the NFL that hires that person.
Oh, because that person got canned otherwise, right?
My question is the level of concern for that person's job. But since Jerry said he was like, I can't do anything about it, although I want to.
See,
he said he could have no direct negotiations with the clock keeper.
All right. Then my level of concern is low. Otherwise, I think this would be one of those quiet reassignments where, like, now you're just put in another division of the Cowboys not to be heard from again, and he has to work in that basement office.
It's kind of accounting, but not really.
Yeah, and the door doesn't open all the way, and it's by the bathroom. Yeah.
Every once in a while, a pipe bursts and steam comes into the room. Yeah, I get you. AC doesn't work very well. All right, let's go with the last one. Cut six here. He's been praising Dak through 4 weeks of the season.
I'll give Schottenheimer, Brian, a lot of credit. I gave Brian credit last year for how I thought Dak had really elevated his game. But his pre-snap reads, his sense of how he's reading the total field as really reading half the field as much as he does, which is a good thing, not necessarily negative at all. But the whole point is that Dak's throwing the ball quicker. It wasn't just that game. It's the games in general. He's getting the ball out. The defense is designed that way. But, oh, I forgot one little small thing, that running game.
Yes, the running game has such a huge impact on it. We've discussed that, but, Kevin, your level of concern for whether or not Dak can do this all season long, because he's carrying the big load for this team right now.
Yeah, it's higher than average.
Okay.
Just because his stats have been really ridiculous to this point, and you're going to probably need them to stay ridiculous. Like,
you think he can finish second in MVP voting this year?
Actually, yes. Because I kind of think it's like the Joe Burrow effect, right? Because you're going to be forced to have to probably almost lead the league in passing yards, completion percentage, everything else to keep this team in a relevant situation. So I know the counter argument is MVP is going to be going to the quarterback for the team that's 13-4 or whatever. And I don't envision that for the Cowboys at all. But I do kind of wonder if you like sweep the top of the passing categories and your defense is the worst in the league, you got to put that person in the conversation at least.
That is the C Block, ladies and gentlemen. And never forget, you can't spell radio without rad. And that's what we are.
All right, Alec, do you like that quote better or do you like this quote better from Breece Hall? It's just a tale of three out of our four losses. Teams will shoot themselves in the foot. We come back and shoot ourselves in the head.
Oh, gosh.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here. It's not my quote on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with MLB columnist for the USA Today, Bob Nightingale, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's bring in columnist and senior writer for the USA Today. It is Bob Nightingale. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
Well, we're doing well. I hope we're not interrupting too much of your Guardians Tigers viewership during this interview.
There's a reason why it's at the 10 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, out in California. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's Detroit who blew the big thing. Cleveland comes back and now they're playing again. So it'd be rough for Cleveland to go through all that and lose first round.
But on the flip side, if Detroit goes through all that by giving up the lead and then losing the playoff series, that goes down. It's like an all-time baseball disaster, right?
Oh yeah, number one, it'd be the biggest collapse ever. Well, it already is by losing division. But at least they made the wild card. But you're right. If they go out to Cleveland again in this round, yeah, it will be a disaster forever.
I think because of that, this is the most interesting wild card series to me. What is it to you? I know a lot of people will say Red Sox, Yankees. Is there one particular series in this round that you think is more interesting than the rest?
It's got to be Red Sox, Yankees, just because it's a traditional rivalry and Boston reminding everybody, hey, we haven't lost the Yankees, in the playoffs of 2003. Of course, staged the epic comeback, down 3-0 in 2004. So, yeah, it's still Yankees-Red Sox just because it's such a great traditional rivalry. I mean, I think the networks obviously were hoping it was going to be Mets-Dodgers, but, of course, the Mets didn't make it.
Bob, I know there's a lot of baseball going on, but here in Texas,
we're sad.
We're very sad as Bruce Bochy is no longer the manager. Do you think it's weird that a guy won a World Series, your first ever World Series 3 years ago, and then he's gone after that?
Yeah, it is. I'm sure, part of it was Bochy's decision too. It wasn't like he just got fired.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I think Skip Schumacher had to play a factor in this. It's like, okay, Skip's not going to sit around for another year. If he's not going to manage in Texas, he's going to manage somewhere else. He's got a home there. I think he has a son that goes to school maybe there.
Yep.
And so I think that's a factor, too. Like, we don't want to lose Skip Schumacher. And obviously, when I hired him originally, that was a plan. Like, okay, he'll be the next guy.
But it's okay that we're still sad today, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, Boris is great. I've known him since he was a player in the Padre days, one of the greatest managers of all time. So, yeah, absolutely. And a wonderful human being.
Do you think he loves baseball the most or fishing the most?
Probably a toss-up.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, just a great guy. Loves hunting. He loves hunting, too. But, he's got a fishing pond in his backyard in Nashville. So, yeah, he enjoyed his time there. And I think it'd be an unbelievably cool story if he ends up in San Francisco, one last rodeo right there.
Okay, so we know that Chris Young offered the advisory role to him. That's what he said, and I can see that. Would he go back to San Francisco as a manager there and take over for Bob Melvin? Would he take on a different role with that organization, or do you think that he has a chance to stick around in this area?
I would think it's San Francisco. If it's not as a manager, and that might still be a long shot. I don't know how many more years he wants to, do this. He's got a close relationship with Buster Posey. I would think if he's got, if the Giants would say to him, you want to manage, if not, do you want to be a special assistant with us? I would think he'd probably go back to San Francisco for that type of job.
Okay. Now, we're, of course, biased because, as Corey said, Boch brought us our very first World Series title, but like if he doesn't end up managing again, where does he fall in the pantheon of all time great baseball managers?
Well, it's only up there. I mean, you're talking about four World Series championships. I mean, they had that great class a few years ago, the Hall of Fame classes, you know, Bobby Cox and Joe Torre, Tony La Russa. You know, he's right there with those guys. You know, and winning with different organizations is big. You know, I mean, you know, Torre had a lot of rough years. He got fired 3 or 4 times before he got, you know, got the Yankee gig and turned things around. You know, La Russa was amazing in Oakland and St. Louis. Of course, Bobby Cox, a legend in Atlanta, and he was in Toronto too. But right, you know, right there with those guys. I mean, certainly you can go down as, you know, arguably one of the top 5 managers of all time.
But still behind Connie Mack, you think?
Yeah, but you know, Connie owned the team, so a little different. Bruce never owned the team.
Now, I know this has become very one of the more interesting MVP races, especially in modern baseball history on the American League side. I was reading your explanation, but I was hoping you could walk everybody through who you think is the American League MVP and why you voted for them.
Yeah, now I have a National League vote, so, but if I was voting for American League MVP, I would do Kyle Raleigh. I love Aaron Judge. I mean, as great as a ball player he is, he's even a better person in the clubhouse, off the field. Terrific guy. But my thing is, I think, you know, people get confused and the voters get confused. It's not the best player award. You know, it's the most valuable player award. It was the best player award. You know, Barry Bonds should have won it 15 straight years. He did it. You know, as I said in the story, going back to 88, Kirk Gibson meant everything to that Dodger team. You know, getting them out of the doldrums. And he didn't have nearly the stats as Gerald Strawberry of the Mets, you know, but he won the MVP. And Terry Pendleton was with Atlanta. He turned that thing around from last to first. He got the MVP over Bonds, who had better numbers. So, you know, all those years in American League with Trout, well, Trout should win it. No, I mean, how valuable are you if your team doesn't even make the playoffs? So I don't think, you know, Seattle Mariners, you know, you can sniff the playoffs, although being a 500 team without Raleigh. Granted, I think the same thing with Judge. I'm not sure the Yankees make the playoffs without Judge, but know for a fact that the Mariners stink without Kyle Raleigh.
That is an interesting. If you're like looking at storylines and reasons to root for a team, if you know, like for us, we're out of it, so we're trying to find a team to root for. Who does have the one that you think is the coolest storyline? Because the Mariners do have a long history of not being that successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's only the Mariners have never even been to the World Series, so I think they're the only team, teams never had that distinction. So, you know, great fan base and everything else. But I think of all the teams, the 12 teams in the playoffs, the most fun to root for would be the Milwaukee Brewers. Mm-hmm. You know, just a tiny payroll. Last World Series was 1982. You know, they don't have even a team maybe he's ever heard of. They're like a college team. They call themselves, you know, Milwaukee Junior College. Just scrappy little guys that can't hit home runs, but they had a ton of singles. And they play the game right. I think it'd be really cool to see those guys go deep.
Now, they have the best record going in. I know a lot of people believe the Phillies are the true favorites in the playoffs. Is there a particular team? I know you said who to root for, but how do you see these playoffs shaking out in terms of who wins the World Series?
What's interesting with the brackets are so different. You know, like go to the National League. Here's the Phillies, you know, arguably be the best team in baseball. They certainly would be if they saw Zach Wheeler, but they could be facing the Dodgers. We're on the other flip end, you know, the Brewers would be facing the Cubs Padres winner, you know, a lot easier. Same with American League. Seattle gets the winner of this Cleveland Detroit game, where Blue Jays have to play the winner of Yankees Red Sox. It's really, you know, tough for some of these teams. But I think the team to beat still is the Dodgers. I mean, their starting rotation has gotten healthy, and it's looked as good as it has all year. Their bullpen's still a mess. Their position players are healthy. So I still give them a slight edge over the Phillies. And when they play, if they play next round, you know, unless the Dodgers are upset by the Reds, if they play next round, then I think that could be like the real World Series.
How important is this postseason for Aaron Judge? You know, we were just talking about in terms of the MVP. I don't think anybody debates his greatness. He's already a Hall of Famer, but he has struggled, particularly in the playoffs. How important is this postseason for him?
Well, that is important, particularly remember last year with that nightmare fifth inning when Murray dropped the ball in center field.
Yeah.
You know, just missed it. And but, you know, we see a lot of stars get shut down because everybody focuses on the stars. And then, it's usually the little guys, that come up and do it where the big boys don't. So I remember for a long time, Barry Bonds did nothing in the postseason. Then finally he had a good one, and then he was, lights out like always from then on. So I think it'd be the same with Judge. As soon as he has that good postseason, then he takes off. But the scouting reports are just so much stronger and so much more detailed on the big stars than those guys at the bottom of the lineup usually become the heroes of postseason.
I wanted to jump back to this Rangers group real quick with this organization. How similar would you expect this team? I know not Bochy, but the roster to look to this past season, or do you feel like Chris Young might be ready to make some pretty drastic changes?
I think he might be exploring some changes. Like, okay, what needs to happen here? Need some energy. And it seemed like that was always a resounding theme. Like, okay, it's a very talented team. Wasted a great rotation. It always reminds you of the Mariners the last 2 years where that rotation was so good. I thought, Texas gets in. They're as dangerous as any team in baseball. But I think they're kind of missing that, some of that youthful energy, to that permeates the clubhouse. Who was the player? I'm trying to think. Pilar, remember when he criticized the team for that? And no one really questioned it. It's like, well, he's got a point. And so it's almost like very professional, very businesslike, where sometimes maybe you need some young kids to get things going there. I'm trying to think of the young guy's name, but he did for the San Francisco Giants, and people love that enthusiasm.
Well, we appreciate all the insight about the Rangers, Boch, the rest of baseball. You're always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the time, sir.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Nightingale right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, while we were talking to Bob, there were happenings in the baseball world. Our show, or our listeners, have gotten invested. Tarek Skubal did, in fact, go higher than...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7.5 strikeouts. So that person on Underdog flipped that $780 into $1,400. That is a high stakes wager for the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think like these big wagers only happen at night, but you're like, it's noon. What are you doing? Shut up. I got to focus on this $1,000 bet. I don't have time for any of that. Now, a couple of quick things for you, Corey. I'm going to give you an option. You want a prank? Do you want basketball?
Prank.
All right. Tell me if you think that this is an amazing prank. So Marc-Andre Fleury, who's also responsible for one of the greatest dog names I've ever heard, that person who put the little Penguins jersey on back in the day and called their dog Marc-Andre Furry.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. So he officially retired after playing a period in a preseason game so he could retire with the Penguins. After retiring, the prank is that he got multiple teammates and kind of turned their cars into like number 29 race cars.
Okay.
And he put like the stenciling on there and he put the number 29 and everything. do you think that's cool, or would you be like, come on, dude, this car's really expensive. Like, what the hell?
If you can afford to play that prank, you can afford to fix it.
That's probably true.
Kind of like the neighbor I had. Whenever
he can afford it.
My neighbor, it was, what, $20? My neighbor was a Commanders fan. They were not the Commanders at the time, Kevin. Mm. And a guy came by and said, hey, I'm going to spray paint the addresses on your curbs. And I said, hey, can you spray paint the Cowboys logo on that guy's address? And he did that. And my neighbor was upset for a minute and then thought it was really funny. And then said, you know what? For $20, I can take that.
I'm pretty upset myself.
Oh, I just realized why you're upset.
Did you steal his? Did he steal your lunch again?
He had to have, unless Dude. Somebody else has gotten the bug I to steal that my that lunch.
I thought that was an over thing.
I really
it's like in a beautiful container and everything.
Oh, it's still in that container. So
but the food's
I,
not.
No, it is.
Okay.
I was really thinking you were coming in to talk about this. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
You need to be aware of your surroundings. All right.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody in this room moved your food. But maybe they also set up like a little shrine where like lots of very apparent things to direct you to said food.
To honor it?
Yes. I would go back to the room that you were in.
Scavenger hunt
now? He just threw a little bunch of pieces of candy on the floor and you got to go, oh, piece of candy. Oh, well, piece of candy. Oh,
there you go. Candy. Eric Giafalo, perhaps out for revenge. If he doesn't help him, I should help him find the food now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just leave it be. All right, well, we'll find out next. Did Eric find his lunch and other things as we chit-chat with the fellas? I forgot about that. From the G-Mag Nation, next right here on The Fan.
Two balls, two strikes. Spores, kicks, and fires. He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming. The Rangers are the World Series champions. After 52 years in Texas, 63 years of the franchise, the wait is over, and the celebration has begun.
Mm, still an all-time great call. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today?
Just standing and saluting the great Bruce Bochy. One of the great coaches and managers in DFW sports history.
I appreciate all of the kind words that you have for him. Now, we were going to maybe talk about Bochy in this crosstalk. We were maybe going to talk about me building a shrine and hiding Eric's food.
Ooh.
But in the break, I got called out for something.
And something else?
Oh, very quickly, just about everybody in the room agreed that, about what was said. So Dawson was telling a story about construction. And I will admit, I was listening while sending a text, but I was like, fascinating or interesting. And Broadus walks right by and goes, doesn't really sound like you're interested, Hagee. And then Corey jumped in, and then Zach jumped in. So my question, not necessarily just about me, hopefully, do you have a phrase or a word that you go to when maybe you're either like not totally listening or maybe not interested? Just for the record, I did think it was interesting to talk about the day-by-day progression of all the dirt buildup on 80 out in Forney, but whatever.
If it's not part of your commute, you don't see it.
Exactly.
You know, but you get to see giant caverns or crevasses eliminated by fill dirt. They're bringing in truck after truck after truck, and every
day
you go.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And there's just, I don't know.
I love it.
I thought it was pretty interesting. Really, so when you said interesting, I was like, right?
I did think it was interesting.
We just learned what Heggie's word was.
I did.
Interesting. Look, like, tell me more, because I don't care.
Then I told Zach when I said, I love it. I said, sometimes that's because I don't know what else to add, and I don't have a transition set up. But
See, what I was hearing is you want to hear more, you know?
Dawson, you're better than that. You're really better than that.
Oh, don't listen to him.
Dawson, you're a good evaluator. You're usually better than that. When you got tricked because you thought somebody was really interested in Tonka toys and dirt.
No, he's not right.
You know,
Tonka toys?
Yeah. You were trying to sell us our childhood, but you know what? Heggie gave you that interesting as he's telling his wife, hey, listen, I'll be home in a bit. Make sure you have them chicken wings ready.
I know exactly. You know what that is. He's bringing the chicken. She's got to have something else ready.
Yeah, I know exactly what that is.
Now you're working, Dawson. I know. There you go.
Boy. If you're a big fan of DFW Media, that was a nice little great Easter reference. Egg for
First
you.
Day wow. I ever started working with that man.
Really?
ESPN Dallas, yeah. We had a staff meeting. And they had immediately Jean-Jacques is sitting there and he's having to explain it to all of us what he meant. And we were just cracking
he
up.
He tweeted what was supposed to be a text, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And it was about chicken wings.
That's legendary.
And having something ready.
Yeah. It's true.
I know Bobby has that. If Bobby was here, he could actually read the tweet verbatim.
Yeah.
Give us the direct
even
quote.
Even if we told him not to, he would absolutely read it.
Power through.
Well, and one of the reasons I did think his story is interesting is the most stoner question I've ever asked was when we were on late night. And I looked at Corey and I go, "Do you ever wonder how they like built all the roads?" And he just looked at me and I was like, "Think about it. It takes forever for us to build a road now or fix it. How do we build all of the roads?" All these people are like, "Are you high right now? Like, what is happening?"
Maybe.
I actually think it's a great question.
Thank you.
Especially with how intricate they are around here. Where you're like, you're seeing a million different type of directions that you could go, all at different levels.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, I mean,
that's fascinating.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and it's amazing how long it takes them. Yeah,
so long.
Whenever we get those 15 seconds back in life. Yeah.
See, I'm sorry.
I am interested in. All right, is your sure brought us? I'm gonna go sure.
No, when I sure. go hmm. I'm not really interested in what you're
okay,
saying.
Okay, Corey, so I can be on the lookout. Do you have a phrase that I should be like, just stop what you're saying, Kevin. Just shut up. Shut up. He doesn't care.
Oh, no, I'm definitely interested in every conversation that I have with everybody all the time.
It's when I look back at you and ask for the answer to a question that I know you don't know what the question was.
Yeah, usually, and that's why Kevin does a good job now of like now. He'll ask a question to the public. And then when he's ready for me to talk, he'll repeat the question one more time so I know exactly what it is. Otherwise, I'm going to look at him and go, what was the question? And
You know Corey.
Yeah.
You know Corey.
You know Corey. Yeah, you gotta appreciate that.
Are you guys going to miss Boach?
Very much so. I like one of the things, and we talked about this earlier, with Steven and Jerry, they all...
Rangers.
Everybody has a different way of deflecting like a question they don't want to answer, much like we were kind of talking about. Steven, you know, will execute you and that to death. Jerry will tell a folksy anecdote from the 1970s. But I feel like Boach was always like, look, that's a fair question, which kind of usually led you to believe like it wasn't his favorite question. Yeah. But I felt like he was straight up. And when he said, I can't tell you, he was very specific. Like a couple weeks ago, he couldn't tell us with Wyatt Langford. He goes, look, I can't tell you. We're hoping it'll be okay and it won't require IL. But if you don't see that person out in the lineup, that's who it is. And so I appreciated that it felt like in the good times and the bad, he shot you straight.
Better than Woody?
Woody had to
Woody
had to spend an entire COVID season with us. And we were able to still have conversation, talk life with him, and that was different. Boachy has a different level of experience that you can draw from, you can ask questions about, and then he had these fun stories that he could tell too. And also because of the three World Series that he had before he got here, the one that added to it, there just felt like a difference in whatever he said was right. Whatever Woody said, you kind of had this like skeptical, okay, we'll see if that works.
I go, you're a nice guy, but
We didn't have too much positive to talk about. You know that, Zach.
The post-game shows with him, I always felt so bad. But he always was really gracious and had good answers. But Boach, I feel like that voice just sets him apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Gravitas.
Okay, there's this thing on King of the Hill where they use that gravitas as an example, and they're waiting for the grandfather to say something, and everyone looks at him, and he looks into the distance, and he goes, I don't suppose there's much I could say. Them mountains out there couldn't say better. And the people at the table are like, that's right. And I kind of feel that way about Boachy. Sometimes he said something that even if you're like, I don't know, you're like, yeah, that sounds right.
Coming from you with that boy, with that voice, it's like, absolutely. I'll take it.
I know they're going to do a supposed search, but do you have any doubt that Skip Schumacher is going to be the next manager?
I wonder if they moved on from Boach because they're worried about losing him to the Giants.
I think.
Ooh. Not they're losing, about losing Skip. Shoot,
yeah.
He's very, probably a top target on the Angels, any team, the Braves. If you were going to promote him, I think you had to do this.
Yeah.
Or else he's probably leaving.
I think that is very fair.
And then you get Will Venable.
Yes. Which.
White Sox. They're a little better this year.
We don't want. That's true. Yeah. What do you guys got coming up on the program today? Okay. We got to go.
Interesting. Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. We do have Mark Schlereth at 4:40. And more details on that dirt that they're hauling in out there on
you. All right. I'll be there. Timestamp that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
So go get Rangers, Bochy.
Go get Rangers, Boch.
Go get Rangers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.